Lauren.
Hi.
Queen of Green. That's how I first was introduced to you. How are you?
I am so well.
You look beautiful.
Thank you.
Look
you like so a queen, do you. And always. You look like a goddess. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming.
Absolutely.
In the flesh.
Absolutely.
I'm so happy that we get this time together. I just like to, you know, bring women like you to the forefront. I mean, you already have such an amazing following, and you've done so much to contribute to the wellness and the forward thinking of women and men. I've done your Eat Yourself Sexy journey like 4 times. I still haven't completed. I always make it to the second, like the end
Raw
of the second week.
And then you're like, liquids.
I just
gotta go.
I know. And I think it's because I just feel so good after the 14 days that I'm like, yeah, I'm good. Like, but I think that I'm still going to do it again because there's something about that completing it.
It is.
Those 27 days.
21.
21 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're going to be starting right after Christmas.
Okay, perfect.
So I think that'll be good to move into the new year.
Yeah.
Just clearing the rest of the year. Because I feel like holiday season is where we're just slathering it on.
We are.
The indulgences and stuff like that. And ultimately, it makes us feel worse than we thought, right?
It does.
We're trying to have fun, but we're consuming so many, depressants.
Yeah.
You know, we're overspending, which could be depressing too.
Yeah.
Once you like finish splurging and get that high and you look at your account, you're like, what have I done?
You're stressing, trying to do so much.
Exactly. So bringing it back into the middle, recalibrating, fasting, clearing is just the go-to for me always.
Yes.
So I'm excited.
We're going to talk more about Eat Yourself Sexy journey. But what I want to start off just like from the beginning, like your childhood, where are you from? I know you are Trinidadian, right?
Guyanese.
Oh, Guyanese.
That's a Guyanese again.
Okay. And so what is that, your full like background, your full heritage or?
No.
Okay. What? Break it down for me.
Because I am so
you give
mixed.
So much like life and vibrancy and just like, it's definitely, it feels like everything that I've seen from the islands, from the Caribbean, things like that, because in the America, we're not as chill. We're not as happy.
Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I would say it's a choice for sure.
Okay.
But I did grow up with a really cool mom who, who is, Guyanese American. So she grew up, she was born in America, but her sisters and everyone else was born in Guyana. My family, my mom's side, they moved to America in the 50s, bought three homes in a row and just brought everyone over. So, and this is my Chinese grandmother.
Oh, wow.
Who's, she's Chinese and Amerindian Indian. So her mom is like my skin color with blue eyes.
Wow.
And she's the Amerindian, which is native to Guyana. And her father, which is my grandmother's husband, he's Chinese from Hong Kong.
Oh.
And so she came out just looking straight Chinese,
uh-huh.
which, you know, she's mixed as well, but she's, I guess, no one can tell.
Yeah.
And then she married a man who's Madras Indian and Dutch. So I get the Vanderpool because my grandfather's dad is Dutch and his mother is from Chennai, which is now Chennai, but was Madras India.
I need that's a whole just new little lesson on where all these places are.
I know. And that's just my mom's side. So my father is Brooklyn bred, but his father is Native American and Cuban.
Oh, wow.
And his mother is African American, but like extremely fair skinned African American woman. So then, yeah, they
have
me.
You. And I'm like, hi guys. Is it just you?
No.
Okay. You have brothers and sisters?
Yeah. Okay. Papa was a rolling stone.
Okay, period.
yeah, no, I grew up with two brothers.
Okay.
But I have in total 4 brothers and 2 sisters.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And so was that family?
And
how
I'm
was
the
that
baby.
Family dynamic? So you were the baby. So I'm the baby too. So typically, when you're the baby, like you miss a lot of the I guess, the craziness of a big family once, you know, you come along?
Well, I wouldn't say that.
Okay. Yeah, because I've read a little bit about your story just from following you, knowing that, you know, you were in D.C. Was it Southeast D.C.?
No, Uptown. I'm an Uptown girl. But, okay. Southeast is pretty rough. Uptown was also, it's the murder capital. The whole place was pretty devastated. It was like a war zone. Crack hit it pretty bad. And so, yeah, but I'm from Uptown Northwest.
Okay. And you lived there until when? Because I know that you started your vegan journey at about 16.
Actually 15.
Okay.
And, yeah, I lived in DC up until, gosh, I was probably like 21. Mm. And I moved to Birmingham, Michigan. I was working with Slum Village, the group. The hip hop.
What were you doing?
I'm cooking.
Ah.
And I actually dated one of the members. We won't disclose that information. Lovely guy. Oh my God. So I so much happened, but I had to get away from the city. It just, I felt like it was breaking me. It felt very unsafe. And I just needed to, I felt like I had to run for my life, to be honest.
Oh, wow.
Not to be so dramatic, but I was running for my life just based on all the things that were going on.
You couldn't really get away from it in the city. You had to.
Yeah, well, I was experiencing an extremely abusive relationship, and I was a teenager, right? Yeah. So I hear what's going on in the tabloids right now with older men and young women. And so I realized just today, I was sitting and I was like, wow, I experienced that same thing. At 15, I attracted a 26-year-old man. Mm. And I could not see in the moment how distorted that was, and how are you 26 and okay with being with a 15-year-old? Like, granted, I'm mature. I was already a raw foodist.
Yeah.
I had already started my business. I was giving him money. He didn't have, you know, I was giving, darling, don't worry, darling, just take it. You know what I mean? I was, because I always had money, because I started my business at 15. I was selling my raw foods, because I was making like $2,000 a week.
Oh, wow.
So it was like a little $300, $500, like, you know, but didn't realize what red flags, how big or massive those red flags were. So,
that's intense, because I haven't shared this with anyone. Well, yeah, when I was 16, for like one of my older cousins who was in college, his friend, we dated. He was 23.
And it's like, bro. Like, what are you thinking?
I knew that.
Not you.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you're dealing with, naturally, young girls are fast, right? We're like, honey, I am mature.
Yeah.
Can you not see me? I'm basically a woman. We're so pressed to be there.
Yeah.
Right? Most young people are so pressed to not be a child anymore, right? And so it's normal for a young girl to be like, think that they're older and act more grown than what they are. But it's a responsibility for the older person to say, no, sweetie, you're beautiful, but we're not doing that. I could be your friend or whatever, but I don't even think that being a 15-year-old's friend is appropriate.
What do you have in common?
What are you talking about?
What are you really talking about? So what was that relationship like? You said that it became abusive. Was that the abusive relationship? And so, like, what was it about him, though, that...
So it's so interesting. I was a raw foodist already and everything. He's a Rasta, right? And so he had like these avant-garde locks, and he was so cool. He was tall, handsome, like an amazing artist.
Okay.
And he was exposing me to things that I hadn't been exposed to. So of course I was already on the raw food kind of spiritual tip. I was onked out. I had my little five locks too.
You did?
Yes. Oh, I had Congo locks. So at this time I didn't ever like to twist them. I just let them freeform. And so I literally had like five locks. And you know, he's the first person who exposed me to like frankincense resin and like just things.
Yeah.
Like, I went to my first Naya Bingis with him, or, you know, learning. Naya Bingi is like it's like the church for the Rastafarians, right?
Okay.
So like if you're into the community of Rastafari, depending, you might be a Nyabingi, you might be 12 tribes. There's different, you know, sects within the Rasta community. And so the Nyabingi is where they all get together with the drums and they chant Down Babylon, around a fire. And it's beautiful, right? Yeah. So, like,
those experiences.
I was being exposed to really cool things. Kung Fu, I loved Kung Fu already. So we're doing all these things together. Mm-hmm. And I think that at first, everything was wonderful.
Yeah.
Like, he was more chill and kind of more docile even, like, which is why I felt like I could handle it. Because I'm Leo, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I'm running the show,
Yeah.
And then, so funny, the first time I ever had sex, I got pregnant.
Wow, what?
And I might as well have not had, let me not be, but it was like, did I have sex? Drats. It was just.
It was quick,
but I was like, is that dick? No, I'm joking. I'm sorry. What is that? It was like, I was so confused as to what happened, because it was just like one pump.
I mean, I'm sure a lot of women can relate to that.
One whole one. I'm not exaggerating. It's just giving. Captain Planet. He's a hero. He was far from a hero, okay? It was giving. I remember being so devastated.
He was so excited.
Beyond, okay? It was giving. But honestly, after I had had sex with him, I felt like he took my energy, because I went from being me to, like, I couldn't even talk. For years, I didn't speak. Like, it was like he became all like me and I became like him. I swear, when I think about my son, who's more quiet and more, it's, you know, that was his energy. I'm not quiet, really. Mm-hmm. I can be, but
If I'm proud,
you need to ask, is something okay? Are you okay, Lauren? If I start getting quiet, you better ask me if I'm okay, because I'm not really very quiet in those, you know. And I just remember being like, what has happened? This is a huge tip to those people who are exchanging sexual energy with people. Just understand the power of the energetic exchange, because you are giving them, and remember, I was a virgin. I gave him so much, you know, so much purity, and he took it and he became the king. And I became his goddamn slave. Wow. I literally entered in, and I very rarely talk about this, but I feel like I've healed and I've come to a place where I can share it for other people to be mindful, you know, of, again, sharing your energy, that energetic exchange, how you could end up wondering, who am I? Getting all scrambled up because you've exchanged energy with a man who is not balanced, who has dark energy, who, all of those different things. Yeah. But at the end of the day, I still believe in ownership. Ownership for what I attract, right? So there's no victims here. I am so grateful for him and having that experience, because it allowed me to see who is in the world.
It also, at an early age, you
at
were
an
able
early
to.
Age, and I was able to break some generational traumas and curses, you know, because this is not, it just didn't pop up, this abuse. I attracted it somehow, right?
Yeah.
And we can get into that, you know, but I know that I attracted it so that I could prove that it can be done. Many people don't get abused the way I was abused and locked in closets and beaten down and raped and all these things and come back to where I am, right?
Wow.
So I just say that not to do a pity party, but to say that if I could go to
what probably felt like hell.
What I considered my lowest point. I've never experienced anything as worse in this lifetime yet, where I had to, like, this guy was kind of OCD, so he wanted everything like the way he wanted. So if this is how he wanted the water, and I put the water where the label is just facing this way, the same position, same center, but here, I would get beat up. So it was like, for a teenager to be experiencing that, it was intense. But I say that because I do give thanks for it. And I feel like through my healing, by reaching to my meditation, to my prayer, by going into nature, by just reaching for my tools, it helped to heal me. And through that, it's just, I just feel like the other women who, or men who might have gone through or might be going through an abusive relationship, they can look and see, wow, it can be done.
Yeah.
Someone could be at their lowest and still reach and manifest their highest dream for themselves. So. Yeah.
No, I that's so beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that, because there are people going through it right now. And just like even what we've seen kind of like in the media, like, you know, things coming out of a lot of abuse, and how abuse is not just the emotional, it's not just the physical, it's the sexual abuse within relationships mm-hmm. that are supposed
you
to be
you could be in a relationship. Yeah.
And how it's changed over time. I've seen a lot kind of just like in the media right now about people kind of shaming or blaming the victim of abuse, saying, well, you could have left, why didn't you leave? It was alarming to see so many women say, you could have left.
It's an illness.
Yeah.
It's an illness. I know it's many times this man beat me down, and it was crazy how many times I went back. It was like he had mind control over me. Yeah. I could not leave. It was the weirdest thing. And I also want to say to those people who might be watching, who might be the one who's the aggressor, I want to say that, first of all, if you don't heal it, then you give it. So where did it come from? We need to begin to offer deep compassion for those people who are the aggressors, mm-hmm. right? The predators, right? Because if we don't begin to look at both sides and have love on both sides, then we can't heal. Yeah. Because this person is, if they're doing this, they're really messed up. And we don't know what happened to that person. They need help. Instead of persecuting them, throwing them under the jail, canceling them out, this person needs help. And what does the community do? What does a conscious mm-hmm. community do with that? Do they outcast you, mm-hmm. beat you down? That's normal. We've mm-hmm. been doing that, and we see the results of it. It doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
This, you know, these type of people need rehabilitation. They need to begin to look at their life and what happened and begin to heal and love themselves more. Otherwise, they're going to continue, because it's like an addiction. It's like it's just a
dopamine.
Bad program.
Is it some type of like release? It's like they get a high from exerting that power. Is it maybe like sometimes they're channeling like, oh, I'm actually giving it back to the person that gave it to me. Like they don't even see the new person that they're harming.
It's all, everything is all us, right? So even if I trigger you, or if I say something to you, you get to choose how you respond to this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And which is why I'm like, yes, we want to take everything into consideration, but we don't want to make excuses for ourselves, mm-hmm. right? Because then how are we able to heal if we just use it as a crutch? Yeah, I've been beaten and raped and da, 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 and that's why I'm being mean to you. Okay, I get it, but let's heal that, because we don't want to use it as an excuse or a crutch to say, well, I get to be operate in this bad behavior because of that. It's to acknowledge it and see, okay, we can offer you compassion here. What tools can we use to help to heal?
Yeah.
But you ain't off the hook, honey. You got to take that on the chin like a champ, because you was wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I have two questions concerning that. One is accountability, and the other is calling things forward. And I'll start with accountability, mm-hmm. like how you were just speaking of being able to look within. And I had an experience, a couple of experiences with friends who, one in particular, was just having the same cycle with men. It was so crazy. It was like the same exact scenarios happening over and over again. I think it was three situations. And, you know, one day she was crying and we were talking, because for some reason she felt to call me and talk to me. And then it was challenging for me, but I said, hey, I'm not blaming you, but where can you take some responsibility? Why are you engaging? Why are you entertaining? Like, what red flags are you missing? And she blew up on me. It just backfired on me because I think she was just like, well, it's easy for you to say because da 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 da, like whatever, however she viewed, you know, me and my situation. And we never were as close again. She never reached out in that way again. But I've learned in my life that I went through periods of sadness and disappointment in, you know, my outcomes. And it just didn't work to blame anyone else. It's like there's nothing that's going to happen there. I had to say, Kayla, what are you going to take charge of your life? Are you going to do something different? And once I started doing something different, my life actually started to change. And so, like, what do you say to that? Like, have you been able to, you know, help friends, help people take accountability? Like, what's the easiest or what's the best way to go about that? Like,
yeah, it's a part of the work that I do because I interface with people all the time. I offer consultations. People come to me all the time with issues that they need resolved. And the first thing I tell them is, well, first of all, don't come to me snitching because you're telling on yourself. That's what my dad told me. I remember coming saying, well, this person did this to me. He said, don't come to me snitching. You're telling on yourself. Mm. You're telling on your point of attraction, right? You're not off the hook, right? There's no victims here. Everything is vibrational resonance. Everything is either karmic or there's some reason why you're interfacing with this reflection of yourself, right? Mm-hmm. You can take ownership when it's great and say, oh, I attracted this into my life.
Yeah.
But when you attract something that you're not so happy with, you want to say, well, I didn't attract that. Well, no, you did.
In the same way.
How, you know, you can't. The universe doesn't discriminate in that way, right? So what I always say is, okay, oftentimes people just need to vent, right? I'm going through my sister's program who I've known for 20 years, Kenya K. Stevens. She has an academy, Progressive Love Academy, and she teaches that we have an animal, and this is not far-fetched, an animal, ego, and the higher self. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the animal just needs to vent. And so when we have emotional intelligence and you love your friends, it's like, okay, you need the space to vent. I'm going to let you vent. But the truth is the ego will always lie and make up stories about what something is, and it's not the truth. Mm-hmm. So if your ego needs to vent, just know, go ahead, but I don't believe none of this. Mm-hmm. Carry on, release it out, because you need, it's like using the restroom. Go ahead and get it out of your system. Mm-hmm. And then you, once it's out, then you feel better, and then you can welcome in the higher self. Mm-hmm. But you can't welcome the higher self if you're still an animal, an ego. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, vent.
Yeah.
Right? That's the first key. Just get it out of your system. And then, okay, baby, where do you feel you were wrong? Mm-hmm. Right? It's like maybe you reacted to what a person did. Mm-hmm. Right? So it doesn't make what they did off the hook. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They maybe could correct that too. But your response to it, was it in your highest? Does it feel good in your body? If no, then you have to look at yourself and say, you know, I could have did better with that. That's how we grow. We're so scared to make mistakes on this plane, but we came to this plane to grow, to learn, and to make mistakes. So we shouldn't feel afraid of that. Even myself, it's like, oh, I want to be perfect. That's not reality.
Yeah.
I have a bad temper. And I'm as sweet and as kind and amazing, blah, 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 as I am. Don't put me on your pedestal because, you know, I've been known that if you cross me wrong, you might get bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? With my words, I can have a sharp tongue. Doesn't mean that I'm a bad person. It means that we have an animal. Mm-hmm. And an ego and a higher self, and all of those can be activated. So I think honoring who we are, honoring the animal, the ego, and the higher self, and know which one is talking at what time, right? Because we know if the ego is talking, then we know, baby, you're still here. You still have more to release, right? Yeah. So if my friends are there, I'm like, okay. But you're not wrong. And I'm going to tell you, my grandmother said, only a friend will tell you the truth, even if you don't want to hear it. Mm-hmm. So it's my duty to say, well, you're not off the hook here. Maybe that person is, but yeah, you are either staying. Is this a reflection of you? Where have you done this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? You have to look and see where have, you know how we say, and they did this and this. And if you sit and pause and sit in yourself, you're like, dang, I think I might have did this before too.
Yeah.
That's how you attracted it, because you you have that inside of you.
You have it in you.
You know?
So it's kind of just like, whether we're aware or actively conscious of it, it's in us, and that's why we're kind of like drawn to it. That's why we might feel comfort or safety mm-hmm. or familiarity around it, because mm-hmm. it, a piece of it is in us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, so I think that that's the main thing, is I don't let people just dump on me. For one, there's responsibility.
Okay.
Like, you have to consider me too. You have to ask permission to even vent. Mm. Right? I believe that it's okay to vent, and even vent emotionally, like really get it out. You know what I mean? But you have to ask permission, mm-hmm. because I might not have the bandwidth for that.
Yeah.
You can't just call me dumping. Mm-hmm. Okay. We're all done with that. Okay.
No, I love that.
2024 is giving, darling, do you have time for this vent?
Yeah, no, really.
Instead of, oh my God, I can't believe, oops, skirt.
Yeah.
Please. Yeah. That won't be working. We have to be we have to be responsible and have compassion and care for our loved ones.
Yeah.
Who said they wanted that? Who said they had the capacity? You could throw somebody all the way over the edge.
Absolutely.
With your vent, because you don't know what they already have that they're holding. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
No, I love that. When it comes to those friendships or those relationships where you're having to be honest, how have you navigated that? Has it been easy? Like, knowing that, you know, you were running for your life, right? And I'm sure it came with a tumultuous relationship with your son's father.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. This is him. Yeah, the same person.
Yeah, and then women. How has it been with women navigating the female relationships as you've grown? Like being ambitious, being the life of the party, being outgoing, being beautiful, and all those things. What has that been like for you? Are you a girl's girl?
I am. I'm just, I've been blessed to have some amazing people in my life, I must say. God has blessed me with just cream of the crop.
Yeah.
Hence, you know what I mean? Literally. And so I have a lot of friends from all around the world. Now, do I speak to them all the time? No, mm-hmm. because we have all these things going on. But yes, I love my sisterhood.
And how do you maintain the sisterhood? Like, you know, having so many and then not even, you know, talking all the time, but still being able to pick up where you left off. What do you do?
So I just this last week for Thanksgiving, which I don't really celebrate the genocide of the indigenous people, but it is a time in America that all people typically get together and spend time with their families. So I honor that. And so if my friends flew in, right?
Oh, nice.
From LA, New York, Miami, and everything. And it was beautiful. It's interesting you ask about the navigation of friends, right? Yeah. Especially women. Because for me, knowing who I am and what I come from and not making excuses for my trauma, I do my best to not to show up with an attitude, or, you know, and sometimes, especially women, mm-hmm. can get a little snippy.
Yes.
And I tolerate that. I have zero tolerance for it, because of how much I do my best to honor my friends' feelings and to not give them that energy.
Yeah.
So just this last week, I had an incident where I was feeling a bit disrespected in my home. Mm-hmm. You know, someone's serving tea and offering stuff and not offering me any and offering everyone just because they're a little upset. And so for me, I think that I could have handled that situation a lot better, because I didn't speak up initially because I didn't want confrontation.
In that moment.
In the moment. I didn't want to mess up the party and all of that. So I waited. And what I actually did was I shrunk down. And I got so quiet and so hurt. Little Lauren was so hurt, you know, and in that hurt activated big Lauren to be like, wait a minute, you know, mama bear, like who's messing with my baby? So I started getting a little angry. Now, instead of saying, listen, sweetie, love you dearly, but in my home, we don't operate like that. That energy doesn't happen. So if you need to take a step out, you can, but that's not happening. And maybe that would be a little uncomfortable, but it would have saved, it would have shifted the energy prior to making it get to be such a blow up.
Got it.
You know what I'm saying? Okay. So what I'm working on is saying it, even if it's even if a person feels offended by it, that's fine. If I am doing, if my intentions aren't to hurt you, if I'm being respectful and thoughtful, if you don't like it, I can't deal with that because you're not going to like the roar. Mm-hmm. You're going to cry when I roar. So it's better that I just say, nope, that's not going to work and deal with that uncomfortability in the moment.
Those tough conversations.
Those tough conversations. So I'm really working on that. And I feel like I only really have that with women. I don't have that in my male relationship.
Well, that's why I asked. I think it's so important that we, because even for myself, it's therapeutic to hear other women and how they're navigating, you know, their female friendships, because I'm still freaking learning. Like, I'm still learning.
And
I'm like, you know, I was going to ask you, how do you recover from disrespect? And then also with the female energy, I even hear it with...
Sorry, pardon me. I just had to burp.
I even hear it with mothers who have daughters. They're like,
child.
The daughters have attitudes at 3 and 4. And it's like this, I don't know what it is about our energy. Not all of us, obviously, but you know, the ones got a little attitude, got a little flair. They're like you said, we're fast, we're grown. And it's just like, obviously, it's just in us. And so the dynamic between the women, it's like, not only has society kind of pit us against each other and made us compete for the man or for the job or for the spotlight. And so we're all recovering, right? Actively recovering from that type of environment. And I just want more for us. I want better for us. I want us all to heal. I want us to figure it out. But let's just call it what it is. It's real. There is an energy
this little. And it's like...
Watch your damn mouth
around here now, baby.
How do you recover from the discord? The discord.
So for me, immediately after I raised my voice, right? There was no physical, but I raised my voice. And when I'm Leo, but it's beyond Leo. I just know I have fire, and it's to be used as a tool. It's a powerful tool. It's not to be willy-nilly or to accidentally blow up on my friends, right?
Yeah.
So I'm clear about that. So I immediately apologized, right?
Okay.
And sent an apology playlist, did all the things to try to be like, you know, however, I'm not apologizing for standing up for myself. I'm apologizing for yelling and talking to, you know, but this, both people need to be able to take ownership, right? Mm-hmm. So me taking ownership, okay. The other person has to take ownership. They can't stay in the victim. This, you did this. It annoys me even more, to be honest. Like, girl, don't do the crybaby.
Yeah.
You have to see how disrespectful you were being.
Yeah.
Or whatever you did, and say, you know what? That was nasty. It was passive aggressive. Maybe it wasn't outwardly aggressive like what you did. It was passive aggressive and it was hurtful. And you know what? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that to you. Both parties. So I find that if both parties don't, if they're not mature enough, then it's like, how are you going to grow?
Yeah.
We talk all this peace on earth. We just need peace and love.
Yeah.
Honey, put a sock in it if you can't do it with your people. If you can't put your ego to the side and say, you know what? I was really hurt. Mm-hmm. And I apologize for doing this. if you can't do this with your friends, then what are we doing? So I think that that's the main thing with women mostly. Mm-hmm. They're, for some reason, a lot of times, a lot of people don't want to take ownership, men and women, mm-hmm. but it's just like, no, woe is me. And it's like, you have to grow up because that's not going to serve you well in the long run. You know, just pointing the finger and blaming everyone all the time and trying to convince other people that you're the victim who don't have the knowledge. And, you know, just like then they're going to say, oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. No, that's so true. It does not, it's not going to serve you well to blame and be the victim. You
just, ever.
Even if it's something, yes, someone will do you wrong. Okay, are you waiting for them to apologize? Because you may never get it. They may never see or care what they did. And you still have to figure out how to bounce back.
That's how I feel. Like in this situation, I've apologized. I haven't gotten an apology back, but I can't expect that. I have to make peace with the fact that, you know, I needed to apologize because of how that's not how I want to operate.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to hurt people with my words, you know, but I also feel that sometimes because I'm so nice and kind and fun and bubbly and everything, people take me a little too lightly.
Okay.
Right? And it's like, guys, this is a choice, okay? Do I need to flash some cards?
Yeah.
Okay, because I can certainly flash some cards and let you and make you aware, but I don't really like to do it. But what this has taught me is that, Lauren, your people need to know all of you.
Yeah.
So them, they have awareness. That person has awareness that, oh, okay, we could go there. I bet they won't do it again.
Yeah.
That's a good lesson, right? I bet they won't do it again. You need to know that there's a lion over here because then you won't be poking around. No one pokes a lion.
Yeah.
They know better, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So know better with me.
Got it. No, I get it. I want to switch it up.
Yes.
We got
into it. Give me the depth.
Starting off as an entrepreneur at 15, what was that? What did you do? How did you get started? Where did this like come from? Was it a necessity? Like I got to get out of here and get this money, or was it just more like this is a passion of mine to create raw food? What was it?
It just felt very normal. I mean, I grew up in D.C. when it was the murder capital. Even though I was 15, I grew up very fast, and most of my friends were already selling drugs, mm-hmm. you know, at 12 and 13.
Wow.
You know, and so I thought, well, I definitely want to make some money. And I remember I was working as a lifeguard in the Gold Coast of Washington, D.C., and I was just, I don't know, like, I walked into this bookstore, found Heal Thyself by Queen Afua. The next day, I became a raw foodist, like from eating chicken wings and mumbo sauce the day before, you know, like kind of thing. Like I was overnight, right?
Yeah.
And
you were just that inspired. Or it was just.
I was so inspired. But yeah, I think that the inspiration is what made me do it. It just happened so naturally because I just walked into a health food store. I was like, ooh, I need a job. I want to work here. Mm-hmm. They don't hire. They were the Hebrew Israelites. They only hire people in their community and nobody gets paid, right? So it's like, no, but you can volunteer. And I was like, fine, I'll volunteer.
Nobody gets paid?
No, it's just all for the community. Like they all work in the community.
Okay, got it.
You know, their needs are taken care of,
okay,
I guess, but they just, no one's getting paid at that place. So this beautiful woman, Erina, oh my God, love her so much. She took me under her wing and she was working in the produce section. So she would give me all the produce that they didn't need and some extra to just play with because she knew I was a raw foodist. So I would go home and I started making stuff. And I was like, this is better than that stuff they selling over there at Everlasting Life. I'm not going to hold you. So I was like, well, maybe I should sell them. And it just, my mom got me the containers. It was all profit. I got the
because you were getting
it for everything was free. Mom, I need more containers. I was getting all the produce. I think the most I would have to buy is like the nuts. And at that time I was using dried bananas for the crust. So I was like,
What was your top selling like dish or like item?
Honestly, oh my, I was such a hustler. So it was whatever fruit, whatever produce they had that week was what the special was going to be.
Okay, got it.
And oh my God, remember, this is 15 and I got, I had my son at 18. So I had been still going. And then by the time I got turned 18 and my son came, you know, I still never worked for any. I was still selling my pies. And I, at this point, I had the stroller with the pies underneath selling it. And I just kind of bird's eye view and look at myself and just think, wow, Lauren.
Yeah,
you know, really, so much resilience. I might remember having socks and sandals on in the winter, you know, and really being in the trenches and trying to, you know, make it. And then there was a guy named Brother Bay, and he saw me out with the stroller with my son in the cold trying to sell these pies. And he said, why don't you come in here? He had a place, a store right on Georgia Avenue as well. He said, just come on in here and you can run the store and, you know, sell your stuff out of here instead. So then I started with my soups. Everybody was coming. The whole Howard University.
Your soups. Yes.
Them soups came from early Ooh. Times, yeah.
Ooh, I love them, it.
So, yeah, I mean, I feel like it came naturally. It was a necessity. It really became a necessity after a while because I moved into my place at 17, so I had to pay rent, and then I had a guy who didn't work, so I'm supporting him. So, and
okay, yeah, at this point, you were still with
this
him.
Guy, yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, it came pretty naturally.
The nerve of him not to be working.
Girl, supposed to be selling weed and smoking it all up. Shut up. But he ain't sold nothing all year.
That's hilarious. So, okay, so you were just getting it in starting at 15. When did it, you went to Le Cordon Bleu?
Mm-hmm.
When was that?
So, that was after Slum Village, after Michigan.
Okay.
So I had met my godfather, who I call Dad now, at the time, who had extreme health issues. They were going to cut out like 13 inches of his colon. He was on his deathbed, and we rescued each other.
Wow.
He was my first millionaire client, and from there, life changed. You know, he gave me so much knowledge and information about how to manifest the life I want to live, right? Because prior to that, I was getting good things, but I was haphazardly creating. Mm-hmm. So that's how it was attracting
the
random energy. But I began to become a deliberate creator by focusing on what I wanted to manifest, by speaking words of affirmations, by I already meditated, but I had new tools, new techniques, and I believed, like, wow, I can shift my life. And I did.
Wow.
So, yeah, after Michigan, while I was in Michigan, I saw this ad, so random, on TV, which I never even owned a TV, right? He loved TV, which was also why it didn't work as well. I'm like, I cannot do this TV. I love you dearly, but anyway, and there was an ad for Le Cordon Bleu, and I was like, I had already been doing the chef thing. I had already worked with some celebrities, which was the thing for me, like trying to work with all the celebrities.
Yeah.
And I was like, I should go to school. So I applied, and I didn't know whether I was going to get in or not, but I did. And I was like, I'm going to Los Angeles. I'm out of here, guys.
Wow.
Listen, you guys have a great day. No, I won't be doing Michigan any longer. I'm out. So I literally went from Michigan to LA, and I swear to God, for years, I didn't have a bad day. It was just because I had already put in so much work with the affirmations, with the meditation. I had done the work, and I wasn't looking for the results. I was just doing it
doing
for the
work.
Sake of doing it, and I started to see it. That's how I catered the Oscars, the Grammys, the American Music. I was coming from the hood. I was coming from extreme brokenness. I went to LA with $119 in my pocket and in student housing, and I would have never, how would I attract working with Wolfgang Puck to do this? It was God. It was all God. I caught the train to the Grammys the first time I catered it. And everybody else who was working with Wolfgang Puck showed up in their Audis and their this. And I was just like, I didn't care.
Wow.
I was like, God, I'm here. And that was the first time. I've had many times of catering the Oscars, Grammys, AMAs. And what's beautiful is that fast forward, I ended up getting the contracts, not working with Wolfgang, but getting the contracts to do the luncheons, the gifting suites, the actual, hors d'oeuvres for the BET Awards, my company, which is huge from where I was, because I said, I want to do these things, but I was able to do it with Wolfgang Puck, which I'm so grateful for that opportunity. But then to attract it on my own is just like, wow, life is...
Yeah, golden. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what was that like going from, I guess, Washington, Michigan to your first millionaire client? Now you have like these huge corporate events. Was it ever like intimidating, or were you just on a high where you couldn't even, you were just like, let's go, let's go.
I was so happy and I ran the show. Okay, come on. Leo showed up. So the way I was even able to get hired with Wolfgang Puck is that I went on my student portal, and you know, there's a student portal where you can see all the one-time events or job opportunities. So I saw one at the Natural History Museum with Wolfgang Puck, and so I signed up for it, and I went. And there were all these students. It was a big, big event, like maybe like 1,000 people that we had to feed. And I remember coming in there, and I just saw how much, and they needed me. And I'm DC Leo go-getter.
Yeah.
So I started running all the students. All right, over here. And you guys, let's go. We need to, let's out the oven. Let's go.
You just had that energy.
Like, I just leadership. Just fell into and the executive chef was like, you're not from here, huh? And I was like, no, I'm from DC. They loved me. They're like, okay, East Coast. So I crushed that event. They loved me. So then fast forward, I had to go do another one at the NBC studios. And for me, in my mind, I thought that Melrose was really close to Hollywood and Highland. I had caught the train and got off at Hollywood and Highland thinking I could walk to Melrose. You can't.
No, not that.
Yeah. So luckily, Wolfgang Puck has his catering company at Hollywood and Highland. I knew that, so I walked upstairs to ask them, where is the NBC studios? And they were like, oh, here's a girl from the other day. And, you know, they was all clowning and everything. And then one guy was like, well, why don't you work with us? And somebody else was like, oh, no, she's not, you know, like good or whatever, like trying to I said, well, choose any ingredient you want, and I'll give you a 6-course tasting now. And if you like it, you hire me. By the fourth course, I was hired, darling. I was like, don't you ever. And it just so happened that it was the month of the award season. So that's how I got hired immediately and got rushed into the whole award season. If I had not gone in there, I would have missed that whole opportunity. So again, life was lifing for me. There was no issues, even things where it was like, oh my God, it was all working out for my good because I had already put in that work. Through my daily
practice. Momentum was there. The momentum was there. And it seems like you were so, you had so much gratitude that you didn't allow any type of opposing thoughts.
I couldn't. I came from such extreme pain that all I had room for was gratitude. Even things that showed up that were, I just chose to be grateful almost to a point where it was, I had to look and I was like, am I being unrealistic? Am I letting people like walk all over me and not care and be like, what? It's okay. Because I was so grateful and I just couldn't see anything wrong. My lens couldn't see anything wrong. I was just like, it's okay. But then I started feeling, am I being weird and unrealistic? But no, I should have stayed on that path because maybe for others it was abnormal, mm-hmm. you know, but it brought me so much beauty, you know.
Yeah. Was there a time, what was the, I guess the, was it, was ever a time mm-hmm. when you started to get so used to the success and the opportunities that you, it became normal and you were less grateful and less excited and enthusiastic?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is 25 years that I've been on this path, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So everything has gotten, you know, it's a little bit more normalized. I don't even want to cook for a celebrity. I don't want to cook for anybody. I'm like, darling, what makes you think I want to do that?
So no more, you don't really want to be like in that role right now.
No, I have done it. It was great, but it's like who I am. First of all, it's such an honor, and I say this with humility, for me to be taking these hands that have worked a lot. Mm-hmm. This body has put in a lot of work. And it's like, it is an honor because there's so much medicine, so much love, so much that goes into it that I just don't want to just do it for money. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be making someone's breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yeah.
Like there's a better use of my time and energy.
Okay.
You know, and yeah. as much as I've done it and I've loved it and it was great and it was for a season mm-hmm. and for a reason and I did it and I think I did a good job, but now it hurts me. Mm-hmm. It makes me feel like, it makes me feel sad. It makes me feel like your servant or your slave.
Really?
Well, yeah, if I have mm-hmm. to make your breakfast, lunch, and dinner yeah, every day, no, yeah. well, what do you think that is? It's what slaves were doing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and you're someone's personal, you got to go and here you are. It could feel that way.
Absolutely.
It didn't feel that way it didn't feel like that before, but I've gotten to a place where I've put in so much work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, you don't get these hands. You got to really pay
yeah.
for me to lift these hands or yeah. I got to really like you. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. And I've had the food. I can't even think of his name, but he's here in Atlanta. You taught him. You teach yeah. other mm-hmm. chefs mm-hmm. how to like.
Many. Yeah. There's many.
Deuce.
Oh yes,
Deuce, Chef Deuce. Love I've had him. Some of his I've had some of his meals and they're so yummy. So what does the future look like? The future, does it look like product? Does it look like a school? Does it look like what
yes,
is it all?
Yes, huge. So a lot of things. Products, my online culinary school, in person, more teaching, more sharing, more impact. Because if I'm just working with one person, they get to go out into the world. Like, so Serena and Venus, Stevie Wonder, Common, all these people, they're being impacted. And we're clear about the transfer of energy. I'm giving their sharing.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
But I don't need the middleman. Mm. Right? I can share direct. Got right? It. And so that's what I'm in the space of doing. Less day-to-day because literally my hands hurt.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah. Right.
It's healed.
I know.
But
it's healed.
You know what I mean? But like, I have so many gifts,
yeah.
you know, so yeah. much to share. Most people don't know that I sing. Most people don't know that I'm an artist, that I paint, that I design clothes, that I style all my stuff. I've worn every hat.
Yeah.
You know, by yeah. being doing what I'm doing, all my fruit and vegetable outfits, I come up with them and I put them together myself. Yeah. I don't have a team to do that. You know yeah. what I mean? So I'm like, that's a gift. That's a talent.
Mm-hmm.
You
Absolutely.
Know what I mean? And so I want to hone in on some of that instead of just being rat racing all around the place.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It can start to feel like that if all of your time, you can't get it back and you're just one-on-one. You want to use your time to touch the
yeah,
world.
Which is why I do like more catering. I will do more catering events. I love those. This is like, I could be done and, you know, I do it and like, great. Like
yeah.
I just finished doing one a few days ago, Friendsgiving, sold out 100 people.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I was able to go home and there's usually like a 3-day recovery around like doing that kind of, you know, doing large events like
mm-hmm.
that. But it's better. better than
say, yeah. Mm-hmm. What does the recovery look like for you? Because I'm a huge, I need days to, like, even after this, like, my adrenaline is running, I'm having a great time, but I will feel a dip. Mm-hmm. Probably like about 30 minutes, 20 minutes after we finish, mm-hmm. I'm going to need to like recover. And I don't know how many people are like that, but I'm very much so like that.
That is so refreshing to hear, because this is what a lot of people don't take into consideration with me, that it just, it's a lot of energy for mm-hmm. me to show up and to do the stage work and to do the culinary and to like, even just to do my dinner, I had to cook the food. I did have a team, but we had to cook all the food. Then I had to change outfits and show up and be the host. Yeah. Right. And then host other people at, you know, it's just like, so my recovery looks like the spa, mm-hmm. you know, all day.
Yeah. Okay.
Massages, steam room, body scrub, head massage, herbal tea, just completely like pouring in bath, mm-hmm. a beautiful sacred bath, mm-hmm. elevating my feet, mm-hmm. Going into nature.
Yeah.
I'm incorporating more screams in nature, right? Okay. Because I think that we feel so ashamed of our anger, so ashamed of our deep emotions, but they are there for a reason. Mm-hmm. And we should not have to hold them in our body, because we're supposed to be such delicate women. Now, you're going to hear this word, and even if you don't, I don't care. I need to go into nature and release and it. Release that energy. So I'm incorporating more shadow work into my daily regimen of recovery.
That's beautiful.
I love it. It's really good.
Because I'm that girl. I am that girl. I would be at the sauna, the spa, 3 times a week.
Me too. You know? I typically do a bit more. And I used to have a sauna in my home, mm-hmm. but I've downsized. And so I have this portable steam room.
Nice.
You gotta get it on Amazon. It's only like $200.
Okay.
And you literally have the little steam air. You can put any herbs or whatever you want in there, and it comes up to here, and you sit in it. It comes with a chair, and you steam, honey.
Really? Okay, I'm going to Amazon.
That's a daily Amazon, honey. Really? It's so good. You'll be so happy.
Oh, and you just put, and you does, it doesn't cover your face.
I put my head all the way in. I'd be like,
oh my gosh. So like, we're out of time.
Are we really?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I feel like we've been talking for 10 minutes, literally. Oh, my goodness. Okay. So two things I want to do.
Okay.
I want us to pick a card from Reflect and Affirm. Yay. These are cards to nurture yourself and awaken your inner light. So I'm going to have you pick one and then have you answer.
Yay. I need to get those. Those look so cool.
Yes. Rochelle Sanae. They're so beautiful.
Is she from Atlanta?
I'm not sure where she's from. She mailed these to me. I'm not sure where she's from, but once she sees this episode, she's going to send you some.
Okay. Ooh. What is a relationship or connection that brings you joy and happiness? Honestly, lately it's been the relationship with myself. And it's been so good, because I've realized how much I have silently persecuted myself. Mm. I've silently put myself down and criticized and all of those things, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Self-bashing.
Yeah.
So much so that it's just like, didn't even realize it. So the more that I am able to give myself love and to honor myself and speak up for myself, it's been so good. Now, I feel like a toddler mm-hmm. in, like, I'm practicing standing up for myself more, mm-hmm. Or speaking up about things that are a little vulnerable for me and sharing my voice. That's another part, is like, my singing. I have this beautiful voice that I've been hiding, and I'm like, because it's my vulnerable, and I don't like to show the vulnerability. So just really deepening my relationship with myself has been incredible.
I was going to say the same thing, honestly. It's a relationship to self. It's like, I've spent so many years just outward for their approval, outward for their acceptance, listening to everyone else's voice. And like you said, the voices in my head are probably the meanest voices, you know, that I ever like really pay attention to. And I don't know where all the thoughts come from. They might have come from just here, all mm-hmm. out in the universe. But yeah, that's what I'm on right now. Like relationship to self, really just like bigging myself up. And I hate we have to do this disclaimer, not in a conceited way egotistical way, but in a way that, hey, show up for yourself, love yourself, and build yourself up to where that you can fulfill this destiny, this divine purpose.
And without caring, right, about what other people are going to think, because had I cared about what people were going to think back when I was 15 selling raw foods when everyone was clowning me, I wouldn't be where I am, right? But yeah. They didn't understand. They weren't hip. They had to catch up 25 years later. Now it's a big movement.
Yeah.
Right? But back yeah. then it was yeah. a joke. So like, yeah, trusting that God is, you have something special.
Yeah.
And your downloads are for you. Mm. Not everyone's getting them. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. And like, yes, that love of self is the only way we're going to be able to truly show up in the world the way we need to.
Yeah.